Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
And now we come to the thrilling final episode of our radio drama.
Broadcasting from beautiful and safe Brighton, Massachusetts.
No one knows what it means, but it's provocative. Gets the people going.
The Greg Hill Morning Show. Starring.
I'm here for it, bro.
I'm sure Greg Hill does a mediocre job.
What is wrong with a man who loves a dog?
Greg Hill.
I'm traveling this weekend. I need a forecast for Lake Winnipesaukee.
Ooh. It's going to be a little cooler with a very good chance of douchey.
I will say in defense of Greg, if I'm going away somewhere, I want it to be as douchey as possible. So I fully support that.
Featuring the original spark of the Pats dynasty.
All right, what up, adults?
Yes, queen.
I did not know that.
Wiggy.
Let me take out my Harry Potter magic wand here and show you why it's a real thing. Excuse me. Thanks for the bagels, Curtis.
Anything for you, Wiggs. I love you.
Joined by the Relationship Alpha.
Here's seismologist that turns my tune.
Courtney Cox.
Better building? Shoot.
It's not a better building.
Ooh. It is a nice building, though.
That is muy rico.
I've never been in any.
That is a rich building.
And accompanied by
the real Slim Shiny. Please.
I'm standing up.
Two big brains behind the glass.
Get past that.
Like, talk to me, Daddy.
Curtis and Shime.
Sure, the Rich Hill of quarterbacks.
Steven Ross would give.
Don't you ever put Tom Brady and Rich Hill in the same sentence.
I just wanted to make you mad.
Now.
Sweet, sweet taste of victory.
And I am 100% passing judgment.
It's time for the Greg Hill Morning Show.
This is a godforsaken bunch of. You guys, I've never heard of this name in my life.
On Boston Sports Original.
The vibes are immaculate right now.
You're just all about a good time, a good vibe. That you're a vibe curator.
W-E-E-I.
When I say Greg Hill and you say show, Greg Hill! Greg Hill!
Show!
Greg Hill!
Show!
All right. Victory Monday from Gillette Stadium, where the New England Patriots got oh so close to being 2-0 yesterday, right here, Curtis, right here yesterday.
That one hurt. Rough weekend. Everything about the weekend prior, Courtney and I were giddy that Monday morning with the BC win, the Notre Dame loss, the Patriots win was the same, but more aggravating because both teams started out really hot. Like, the 7-0 drive with Jacoby Brissett in this offense, you're like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
This might be it. And it was so demoralizing. Wiggy and I were talking pre-show about you get to the 21-yard line. It's 3rd and 6. You have been conservative all day long, all year long, through 2 games. You drop back, you lose 10 yards, then the field goal's blocked, and then, you know, it goes to overtime and you lose.
Yeah.
Don't you still feel pretty good, though?
I mean,
like, you feel better than you thought you would feel after 2 weeks?
Because they're in, they're going to be in games like this. I mean, this is one that a lot of people penciled in prior to the start of the season as a win. So
back to moral victory Mondays.
I mean, it's moral. That really doesn't do much for me. It might do something for some people.
I think a month ago, if somebody said to you, you guys are 1-1 after 2 weeks, you'd be like, all right.
But you can't look at it like that because you stole one from the Bengals. So I just, you know, you end up with the opportunity to win that game in overtime, and you got another dumb formation penalty. They have zero confidence in Jacoby Brissett throwing
zero.
The football, or who he's get, or maybe it's zero confidence in who he can throw the football to, minus Hunter Henry. I don't know that you're going to be able to win every single football game by pounding the ball, running the football every single week. I don't think you can win in the league week in and week out that way.
But that's what this roster is. So Jerod Mayo is coaching it the only way that you can with Alex Van Pelt. Look at the receivers. I mean, we watch the games all across the NFL. The Seahawks, not a great team, but they have two elite receivers. Metcalf is a great player. Mm-hmm. Jackson Smith and Jigba. Is that how you pronounce it?
Yeah.
The receiver from Ohio State.
He's a really good player.
Very good shifty
guy.
But you
don't know what you have at wide receiver. You got Jalen Polk, which you don't know. Javon Baker, which you don't know. Paul Douglas, who's been, I mean, where is he? WITSEC program? I'm witness protection program.
Yeah.
He's healthy.
Yeah.
I don't know what KJ Osborne is. The fact that.
Not very good.
But we don't know because you're limited to what you're. Team is with your quarterback. You don't push the ball downfield. I know we'll probably get into it, Mayo talking about it, but there's no deep in routes. There's no deep crosses. There's no deep comebacks. Everything is, 5-yard turnaround stick route to Hunter Henry or quick screen or something like that.
The screens were awful yesterday.
It's you don't know what you have when it comes to receivers because you don't give them an opportunity to see if they can make plays.
Well, but are they not – is Alex Van Pelt not giving them the opportunity because he has no confidence in Jacoby Brissett throwing the football?
Or
he has no confidence in those wide receivers? Or, that's the – his version of the West Coast offense that he brought, and he's going to – that's the plan, and he's going to stick with it.
Well, that's the game plan that Jerod Mayo told us that it was going to be last week. He said, we're going to run the football. That's what we're going to do. And
yeah,
we brought
right.
up Ramondre Stevenson, and can you rely on him over and over again?
Right.
And we saw Gibson step up.
But then he went on to say that once the their opponent had figured that out, they had other things that were, they were going to launch. They don't have anything else to launch.
But everything, all things being equal, if they make that field goal, then they win the game and they're 2-0. I mean, it's the
yeah, but you can't go back and do that.
But what I'm saying here is, all the things we were worried about this season from training camp haven't manifested themselves.
No, right.
They're not undisciplined.
Right.
They're actually entertaining
but
to watch.
Nobody's
they're
saying
in every
that.
Game.
Right, but nobody's saying that.
But I think what Curtis is saying is if they come away with a win in that one, we're like, oh, maybe they can win these games
right.
by not.
But the thing is they didn't. Like, you could do that in every game and go, oh, well, if,
You
if
can't they, do it in every game.
Yes,
if they
you
got
can.
Blown out in that
you
one,
know, you
then
do
it would be a different conversation.
You could do it in Kansas City and Cincinnati. If they don't call pass interference on.
What an awful call.
On the defensive back, Cincinnati probably wins that football game. You could do the same thing. If they don't call the defensive pass interference on.
Well, you couldn't do that with the Cowboys game last year.
No,
you couldn't do
that
with the Saints game last year.
But you can go through multiple games. When we look at this game and you start to say, this team, can they win football games? Yes, we know they can run the football. We know they can play great defense and they can get after it. But the problem is you got to get to a point in times in games where you got to be able to throw the football and you have to throw it downfield. And when I say downfield, I don't mean 50-yard bombs, but you have to be aggressive in the sense we're going to take shots that are longer than 10 yards. They just can't do that. And I think it's because they don't have the confidence in the quarterback to do that because all the receivers are new and young. So, but they're out there playing.
Yeah. No, that's what it seems like, and we will we'll get to talk to Jerod Mayo about that and everything else here this morning on a Patriots Monday. Jerod Mayo will join us at 9 as the Patriots go to 1-1, and it's a short week, so you're back at it on Thursday night with the New York Jets, and they ended up winning a football game yesterday. So Aaron Rodgers engineers a drive end of that game to win the football game.
Yeah, I would say Aaron Rodgers should take a page from another New York great, Derek Jeter, and send a gift basket to Will Levis.
he got some help.
That's a game where you get the right help, and then your quarterback makes plays. I know Rodgers didn't throw for 300 yards, but he threw two touchdowns. You're going to be in a position. What's this look like? Great defense, run the football, can't really throw the football further than 10 yards. What's this look like?
The Brockton Boxers.
No.
Oh, too soon.
No. This looks like Mac Jones and the Patriots.
Oh, we look much different than we did with Mac Jones.
No. What were our complaints last year? When the games were close, the complaints were the inability to throw the football.
Well, he was throwing the ball. He was just throwing it away.
Yes.
But nobody was saying this yesterday, though, Wiggy.
What do you mean?
Nobody in the fourth quarter of yesterday's game was harumphing about the inability to throw the ball.
Because you had an opportunity to win the game.
Right. That's what I'm. But the Mac games, Mac was gyrating on the field, pouting, complaining.
I'm not talking about his gyration. I'm just talking about when we complained last year as a team, we always said, hey, we can run the football, we can play good defense, but we struggle in the passing game.
We weren't even in those games, though. Last year with Mac Jones, it was a completely different situation at quarterback. Like, I looked at that yesterday. I don't put the entire loss on Jacoby Brissett. Like, I think Jacoby Brissett handled himself, didn't make mistakes. His ability to escape was unbelievable.
Yeah,
so different than Mac Jones.
Yeah, but
I'm not putting the loss on him.
Well, it kind of seems like
I'm putting the loss.
No, it's not. They don't have confidence in him. When it comes to throwing the football.
But that falls on him.
But they had him drop back on 3rd and 5 when they were already in field goal range to try and ice the game away. I mean, that was confidence in that spot.
But what I'm saying is I'm not blaming Jacoby Brissett for this game. I'm saying when you look at this team and the way – this is another week where he averaged 5.5 yards per pass attempt. This is another week where he's under 7 yards in pass. So when you start to look at this team, you start to say they can play defense, they can run the football, they could probably stick close with a lot of teams, but the issue's going to be, like it was last year, however you want to shake it up or juggle it, the issue's going to be their inability to throw the football.
I think you saw it in the third quarter, the end of the third quarter, like 6 minutes left, they went to a series in which they tried to throw the football 3 straight times in a row and failed.
Right.
And so I just don't listen. I agree with Courtney and Curtis. You know, you're in a game and you had a chance to win a game, and so maybe that makes you happy. I just don't. If that's the way it's going to be every week, you're going to face much better football teams, including, I think, on Thursday night, who are you know, you did not have penciled in as a potential win at the start of the season.
But how many wins did we expect this team to have this year?
Well, I was under 4.5. So,
they're 1-1. I think they've outscored their opponents in total through 2 games. They are I don't think they're going to be favored to win Thursday night, and they shouldn't be, but I would not be shocked at all if the Patriots have the ball in the fourth quarter with a chance to win the game.
Yeah.
And this is the ground floor of a rebuild. The offense is the 32nd ranked when it comes to weaponry. The offensive line, the players that we thought would be great are hurting them the most. Onwenu was awful yesterday. I mean, I don't understand how that happened, but I think Thursday night it's going to be a close game, 1 possession, and then maybe week 5 you see Drake May.
Yeah, I think that. Yeah, I think you're trending towards seeing Drake May sooner rather than later, just because of the way I think things are shaking out, Curtis. You're right, where, you know, you'll be, and that's why I think you'll always, this team is good enough to keep you around games because of their defense and your ability to run the football, so you'll always be within striking distance. The question is, when you are within striking distance, can Jacoby Brissett make those plays throwing the football further than 10 yards that you're going to need?
Well, we are at Gillette Stadium. It is a Patriots Monday after a loss for the New England Patriots, and we'll talk about that with you all morning long. We will also talk about it with Boomer Esiason coming up at 8 on this morning's show. And then, as I mentioned earlier, the head coach of the New England Patriots, Gerard Mayo, will be on this show at 9.
Why is that so hard?
I don't know. It's driving me crazy. It was Boomer did it last week, and then during that entire game yesterday, those guys were saying Gerard over and over and over again. It's Gerard. It's not Gerard.
Maybe so. National media thinks we're all saying Gerard with a New England accent.
Maybe.
Gerard.
I mean, maybe that's what it is. I don't know, but we'll find out. We'll get his opinion on the walk-up song that you guys chose for Gerard Mayo, and that ended up being Jay-Z, I believe. Am I right about that?
No,
Biggie. I thought it was Biggie,
yeah,
right?
Biggie.
All right, so 9 o'clock this morning, Gerard Mayo with us. We will get to They Said It at 7. That's a quick back and forth on what they said over the weekend in sports. And we will certainly discuss what Matt LaFleur said about acceptable quarterback decisions when the football is covered by puke. What else?
I'm going to take a victory lap at some point because I have made tangible change to how people commute in the city of Boston.
Yeah. Really?
All right. Yes.
All right. Is that your lead? Or
I'll just say it over and over again. I mean, it was really my only accomplishment.
I thought that was going to be your lead.
Yeah, right. Maybe it will be. Yeah, there we go.
What about the great Joe Castiglione calling it a career?
Yeah.
Joe announced during the game yesterday that this is it. So 42 seasons, wow. I think. He has been calling Major League Baseball games, and is that something you're interested in, that particular gig?
I did send a demo to Ken,
all right.
And I CC'd Mike Thomas because Ken doesn't like me, so I didn't want to be given a biased judgment. But
the in-game forecast would be extraordinary if you were doing the games.
I mean, I don't think first step would probably be able to throw the first pitch. Once I'm able to do that, maybe Sam will let me call the games. But I would say, in all sincerity, 42 years. That is my entire life plus two.
Yeah.
And to exit on your own, without enemies, after a career where you were able to voice the most consequential games in the history of Boston sports, it's pretty cool.
Pretty amazing. And then you think about that particular landscape, like guys who were doing games here for a long, long, long period of time, that this city has lost a lot of them.
Oh, right. My God.
Recently,
well, yeah. Gil Santos, who is like the voice of God. You've got Tommy Heinsohn, Jerry Remy.
Right, yeah. Jack.
Jack.
Yeah, I mean, Jack, my goodness, that's right.
All right, well, a lot to get to this morning. If you want to be on, the number to call is 617-779-7937. If you prefer to text, you can text anytime on the Subaru of New England text line, which is 37937. Find your authorized Subaru retailer at SubaruofNewEngland.com. We are going to get to our leads in 10 minutes, but first, here's Courtney and what is trending first thing this morning.
Jones and Keefe, weekdays 10 to 2.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now brought to you by Shaw's. It took overtime, but the Pats fell to the Seahawks in the home opener yesterday. 23-20 was the final at Gillette. Jacoby Brissett finished the day completing 15 of 27 passes for 149 yards and a touchdown. Jalen Polk and Ramondre Stevenson came away with touchdowns in the loss. A lot is being said, and we've already talked about it this morning, about Jacoby barely looking at his receivers in the loss. He took full responsibility for that after the game.
Yeah, obviously we would like more in our passing game. You know, I got to do a better job of getting a lot of those guys involved in the game plan and throughout the game. So I take responsibility for that.
We'll talk with Gerard Mayo this morning as well as Boomer Esiason. College football saw a close one between number 24 BC and number 6 Mizzou. Final score 27-21. And Wiggy's Georgia Bulldogs hang on to escape a massive upset with Kentucky. They win that one 13-12. Those games drop Georgia from 1-2 and BC out of the top 25.
Greg, you'd have been so proud of me. Sunday morning, walking James to get some coffee, and a guy on Broadway has this big Georgia flag in front of his place, and he was coming out for the day with his young son, and he's walking down the stairs, and I said, "Oof, close one last night." Small talk. Yeah. What a stranger.
I love it.
Yeah, it was a great moment.
And if you were following along with our survivor pool, 2 weeks in, and we've got a winner. Congratulations to Chicken Nick.
Wow.
It was a tough go for everybody else. The big game that knocked most out, including Greg Hill, were the Ravens falling 0-2 on the season with a 26-23 loss to the Raiders at home. No one saw that one coming.
So that's it already?
That's it.
That's it.
It's a wrap.
Wow, that was quick.
Two weeks.
Unbelievable. Honestly, that's actually impressive.
Yeah. Is that what it normally takes?
No. You're like week 13.
Oh, wow. Jeez.
And we didn't all pick the same games either.
No.
Who did you pick again?
I had the Patriots.
And yeah. I picked the Jaguars.
Oh, okay.
All came down to the end.
Yeah.
The Red Sox fell to the Yankees yesterday 5-2, losing that series 3-1. The guys are off today before taking on the Rays in Tampa Bay tomorrow. And the Shaw's and Star Market Grand Slam Summer Sweepstakes is back. This is your chance to win free groceries for a year, plus other incredible Boston sports and concert prize experiences. To enter, check your receipt for entry codes when you spend $50 or more. Official rules at GrandSlamSummerSweeps.com. That's what's trending. Here's Curtis with your weather.
Greg, you want the stat of the decade?
Yes.
As the home team, starting quarterback in the regular season, Tom Brady, 121-20. The Patriots, since he left, 14-21. In 35 games, they have more losses than Brady had in 141. Oh, right decision, though. All right, it is currently 53 degrees in Boston, afternoon high.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
81.
It is a Patriots Monday. We are at Gillette Stadium, and we will be joined by Boomer Esiason coming up at 8 and by Gerard Mayo at 9 after a Patriots loss. By the way, Coach, have you ever seen, since you love the man so much, have you ever seen the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame version of that song where Prince has the guitar solo, like the 10-minute guitar solo? Have you ever seen it?
I don't think so.
You should go watch it. You would absolutely love it. It's like George Harrison, Tom Petty, and your guy Prince. Unbelievable guitar solo. So Patriots end up getting that game to overtime yesterday, and fortunately do not come away with a win. They sit at 1-1, and you can talk about that all day long with us here this morning. Some say moral victory. Others say we need to be able to throw the football and aren't that confident in the fact that this team can do that at some point. I guess that's where we stand currently this morning.
Yeah, and I think that that's probably a reflection of the fan base as well, because on social media, you saw a lot of people calling for Drake May, but then you saw a lot of people saying they're more exciting than I thought they were going to be going into the season. So
I think we've been down that road. Like, I don't know. I tried it, the moral victory Mondays. We tried that road before. I think when you start to look at where this team is and kind of how they're built, I can't really say that we don't have good wide receivers, because we don't know. Like, I thought Pop Douglas was a good wide receiver.
Who had better receivers yesterday?
I mean, obviously they got the better one in DK Metcalf. I will give them that, right?
Jackson Smith and Jigba wouldn't be the best receiver on the Patriots?
I mean, yeah, well, I would say he's a good wide receiver, but I wouldn't put him in, like, he's so much better than, you know, like a Jalen Polk or a Pop Douglas or, you know, Javon Baker. I don't know what those guys are. All I heard throughout training camp is the kid Jalen Polk is pretty good, right? So who's to say that this kid can't be good? All I know is when you look at this team, and I know Jacoby Brissett was pretty good throughout the, you know, especially early in the game, getting the ball to Hunter Henry and some of the checkdowns and everything. But I just can't – I don't know what your real passing game looks like.
Well, they clearly – when it came to throwing the ball, they went into that game, I'm assuming we can ask Gerard Mayo about this, but with the game plan being that it was going to be tight end heavy. So – but some of those plays ended up they're broken plays.
Yes.
Like, he's, you know, he does a great job scrambling. He did a much better job this week throwing the football on the run when he needed to do that. But it's not game plan. It's not what they're.
No.
It's not what the design is.
No.
And I wouldn't say moral victory for this one yesterday, Greg. Because I don't know, a moral victory to me means there was growth. I didn't see a lot of growth yesterday. I think the offensive line took a step back from week one. The defense had a catastrophic miscommunication with Christian Gonzalez and Kyle Duggar that led to that bomb to DK Metcalf. And I just, by special teams, was really good, but you allow a block punt at the end. A block field goal at the end, not a great day. So I would definitely, to me, a moral victory is like, wow, they really grew, but they lost to a better team.
Certainly, I mean, yes, you're right about the defense on that play, but in general, they kept them in that football game.
When they
needed to get them to go three and out, they did.
DK Metcalf did nothing other than that one long play.
Well, that's Christian Gonzalez. So he had a couple catches, but Christian Gonzalez was great.
Right.
But other than that one play, it's if your offense is this one, the margin of error is almost non-existent.
No, I'm not saying that, but I think to Greg's point is your defense is legitimately good. Keon White had another
couple of sacks.
Yep.
including a huge one at the end of that game.
But Keon White, after the game, said it was on the defense. I mean, and that's something that was, you know, I thought very – if you want to hear about growth, the accountability from the coach through the players after the game was refreshing to hear.
It's just another year of where we say, and I ask Jelani Tavai about this every week, where the defense has to go, we have to be perfect and carry this football team if we want to win football games. Because if we're not, based on what our offense looks like, and I think what our offense looks like in the passing game, we're going to have to do – we're going to have to go above and beyond defensively. Because it looks like their ability to run the football is pretty good, right? I would say this is 2 weeks in a row where you ran the football well. It's just – it's those times when you need to make a play in the passing game, or do you have zero explosive plays in the passing game?
And I'd be worried a bit about Ramondre Stevenson on a short week after the bulk of the carries he's had.
But you got a lot of great runs from Gibson.
Excellent.
Like you ended up and so you Wiggy's right. You got both of those guys. You can running the football is not the question. It's just you know what do you do when you need to throw the football?
Right, and you can't hope on a broken play that Jacoby Brissett gets away from a missed tackle and then finds Hunter Henry who scampers for 20 yards or something like that.
Or comes back to get the football or whatever.
Right.
You know? Yeah. All right. Well, Patriots 1-1. We are at Gillette Stadium. It is a Patriots Monday. And we will get to They Said It coming up at 7. But right now, let's start with this.
This is the Greg Hill Show. Time now for The Lead.
Time, great choice this morning. Ended up last minute going to see Pearl Jam last night at Fenway Park. Beautiful night for a concert. Great show. Great show last night.
A little backstage action.
I did go, but yes, I was. I you know, I don't like to humble brag, but my good friend Whit Grosbeck. I don't know.
Has he been in the news?
Did you know that we're friends?
Well, I thought I ruined that, so thankfully I didn't.
I got to tell you something. Whit called me last minute and invited me to go to the show, and
I canceled, which is why.
Thank you. I appreciate that. This is the kind of guy, you know, I'm accused of being a kiss ass all the time, but I'm going to say it anyway. This is the kind of guy that Wick is, because I didn't even remember this, but Wick called me and he said in 2007, shortly after, we bought the Celtics and we were doing some stuff on your radio show. I asked you about going to see Pearl Jam at Lollapalooza and you got me backstage. And I met those guys, and so I'd like to return the favor and bring you backstage.
Is that not awesome?
Yeah. Pretty cool.
It's really cool.
Nice man who remembers that. So
genuine.
Great show. If you're going tomorrow night, you'll see a great show. They were awesome last night.
No fighting on stage, huh?
There was no fighting
between
on stage.
Between the singer and the...
No, that's just Jane's addiction. But it was a really good show.
Yeah. And it seems like you had pretty good seats, considering you have turf written on your hand.
Just a stamped on my hand? Yeah.
Yep.
No, we were right down there, right up front. Great show.
A turf stamp.
Let's begin our leads. Shime, good morning.
Morning, Greg. So for me, I look back at that New England Patriots game yesterday, and I see it as a missed opportunity, right? Like, when you looked at this schedule before the season started, this was the most winnable game in the first half of the season, and then you get to a point in the game, you're up three, and your final three drives are a blocked field goal, a punt on three plays, and then a punt on three plays, all three of which would have given you an opportunity to really kind of win that game and secure it. And so for me, that's the big takeaway, is you weren't able to finish. Like, that's, you were not able to just complete the win. You had it. You were on top, even with the mistakes you made early on that blown coverage to DK Metcalf, and the defense wasn't as good as we would have wanted them to be, and the offense wasn't as great as we would have wanted them to be. You had it. You were given three opportunities to secure that game, and you couldn't do it. And for me, that's the biggest takeaway.
My biggest takeaway from the weekend is that your guy, Lamar Jackson, could not keep me in the Survivor.
Man, that was...
Here at WEEI.
We missed big time on our Survivor pool picks this week, and it was a disaster.
What's with the Ravens?
I don't know. That's a really good question, Curtis. Defensively, they look like a mess. Offensively, they don't know what they want to be. I don't know if they want to throw the football or if they want to be a power running team, but they don't really run very well, so that doesn't work out.
I think it's the offensive coordinator, Todd Monken. I just don't know if he knows more so what he wants to. Like, Lamar should be running the football. Stop trying to turn him into a pocket passer. And I feel like they try at times to do that too much with Lamont. And that's why I put it on the OC when it comes to, hey, this is what I have. Let's utilize that skill and then add other things onto that.
All right, Chime, thank you very much. How'd you do otherwise when it came to hammering the Chime this weekend?
Pretty good. The pick I gave out earlier in the week of the Chiefs-Chargers moneyline parlay barely snuck away with a win, so that was nice. But outside of that, yeah, Colts struggled big time for me. My guy Anthony Richardson did not look good yesterday.
Nope. All right, Chime, thank you. Curtis,
welcome.
Good morning.
Good morning, Greg. You know, I find victory laps to be unseemly. I'm always incredibly humble. But there are certain events, unforeseen as they may be, that lead me to cheer my own work. And on Thursday night of last week, I went to a lovely station event, team building, and as I was walking from South Boston to the haughty streets of the seaport, I saw the Baron bike bus lane. So I said, you know what? I'm going to hop back in it. I'm going to film this thing. And here you see it right now on Twitch.
Yeah.
Bike bus lane only. Empty. Totally empty. Like the end zone for the Patriots in the second half.
I'm guessing this is like 5 p.m. or so, right? 4:30, 5 o'clock?
Right. Yes.
Prime commute time.
All and right. Let me tell you, as someone who has lived in Boston my entire life, days don't get much better for biking than that one.
Right.
Because from about mid-October until June, it sucks. So, Baron. So,
and many people criticized you for this. Oh, Curtis, oof. Give it up. Give it up.
Oh, Curtis, why are you obsessing over this?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. It causes traffic every day. Why do you obsess over that? So, it makes me truly happy to note that the Wu administration, as of Friday evening, 24 hours after that post, plans to remove a bus bike lane on Summer Street that runs through South Boston, citing data from a six-month pilot that showed it wasn't working as intended.
Ah, excellent.
Largely because cars were illegally using it more than buses. I would add, because no bikes were in it, cars decided to use the unoccupied lane.
Wow. Yeah. So is this something we could see more of moving forward?
I will, wherever, if you want change, I am your man. So
yeah.
I will go to your town, your principality. I will show up with my GoPro, not looking to assassinate anyone,
just
looking to cover the day's events and get you the respect you deserve in your town.
Would it be fair to call this your moonshot?
Oh, I mean, honestly, it's the greatest accomplishment of my life.
Okay.
And I am truly humbled and appreciative of your ability to disseminate this information.
The craziest part is going the opposite way on this street. It's red. It clearly states bus, bike only. But if you want to take a right turn at that light before the bridge, you have to be in that lane.
Correct.
So it doesn't make sense either way.
It doesn't make any sense.
And there's a lot of people that brings you to West Broadway.
Right.
And the other side of town, so
I biked to the work event, so I did take advantage of the gray bike and the bike lane.
Right, you're
so
a biker.
I'm a more gray bikes in the city. Woo,
you're a casual biker.
Yes,
right?
Get more of the e-bikes.
Yeah. Okay,
we understand.
God bless America, and I just want everybody to know when you are getting home in a more efficient way, you can thank the Greg Hill Show and yours truly.
Curtis, well done.
Thank you.
All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll get to Courtney's lead and to Wiggy's lead and to my lead. Coming up next from Gillette Stadium on a Patriots Monday at WEEI. It's a Patriots Monday. We are at Gillette Stadium, and Boomer Esiason will join us at 8, and we'll talk all things NFL this weekend, and Gerard Mayo, head coach of the New England Patriots, will be with us here at 9. At some point, Wiggy, probably need an audio eulogy for Tito Jackson.
Yeah.
One of the Jackson 5.
Wow. I didn't see that coming.
Passed away. Do you want to handle the audio eulogy duties?
I'm a diehard. I'm a huge Jackson 5 fan. So,
yes. All right. Well, we'll get
to that. Why Jackson isn't at work?
No, I think Jackson was just running late today, I think. But I think he's here.
Yeah. He's here.
Has he arrived, Shine? Jackson's here?
Yes, he is present and accounted for.
All right. Excellent.
Phew.
We have some leads that remain, and those include Courtney's. Hello, Courtney.
Hello. Good morning, everybody. We talked about Tua last week a lot. My lead on Friday was that it was probably time to call it for him after watching him suffer yet another concussion on the field during Thursday Night Football. Over the weekend, reports are that Tua is not going to step away from the game and that instead he's already speaking with concussion specialists and is, you know, expected to return once his doctors clear him. I will talk to Boomer about this later on this morning. And people fall on either side of the aisle. It's, you know, well, there's a lot of money left on the table. My issue is if the doctors say, yeah, technically, Tua, you can go play again. If you get concussed again, that's going to fall on you. But, yeah, you could go back out there. At what point does the NFL step in, because they're all about, you know, protecting the players and player safety, and say, no, actually, we are going to put an X on this. We do not want you to come back because it's in your best interest. And if you got to pay him what you promised him, then you've got to pay him what you promised him. Like, at this point for me, looking at Tua, looking at his young family, and watching what he's gone through on the field while my eyes are on it, and there has been a college, a high school career that Tua's gone through, and I have no idea what concussions he's suffered during those times, but three times in his NFL career where I've watched it happen on the field, and it's made me, it's taken my breath away. If you are the NFL and you care so much about player safety, it's time for you to step in and say, wait a minute, no, I don't think he can come back.
I don't think they've ever done that.
Can't right. do that. There's no way you could do that.
Well, they do it in college. So you have,
what do you mean they do it in college?
You have colleges that say to guys, you can't, this is it, you're not going to play here anymore. There was a Syracuse quarterback who uh-huh. ended up, the only reason I know this story is uh-huh. he ended up playing in D2.
Right.
And Syracuse had said to him, okay, because they played Bentley when Brees was there. And Syracuse had said to him, the kid was, he was lying in bed all day, couldn't do anything.
Mm-hmm.
And Syracuse, the football program, said, we're not going to allow you to play here anymore. So he had to go and play D2. So you can... There have been examples of it. I don't. The NFL has never done it.
Yeah,
that's fine that they've never done it.
I don't know if you want the NFL to be in the business of telling people what they can and can't do health wise.
I just think if you're the NFL, well, they've already done that really when it was COVID and they told people that they needed to get the vaccination.
Yeah.
So they've already stepped over that line.
Yeah.
But if you're the NFL and you're preaching to us that you care so much about player safety and over again, then I'm sorry. If you watch, everybody has seen what Tua's gone through.
But if he's getting the okay by independent doctor, then you're basically saying to him, you can't make a living because...
Give him the money that you promised him.
But the
That's
team,
a living. If you're making over $100 million...
But the team's not going to give him the money if they know he can play.
I'm saying they should.
And I really believe that... I don't know what Tua is going to do, and I agree with Courtney. If I were advising him, I would say stop today. But the reason this is even here is because... It's the guaranteed contracts. And I believe Tua has the credibility both with the Alabama fan base in college playing for the Dolphins in the NFL. If he today said, I will stop playing, but I can't stop if they don't guarantee my money, that there would be such pressure that might be a watershed moment that would shift the way in which they handle these injuries. Because how many guys that aren't Tua that make three, that have Wiggy's career,
mm-hmm.
do well, but it's not generational money, and they are going to be done making money at the age of 32, have to keep playing.
Yeah. But see, I don't think it's the money aspect of it, because I think Tua and the Dolphins would come to some type of agreement to say, okay, if Tua was like, I just can't do it anymore, even if he's cleared, right, by an independent doctor, I think if Tua said, I just can't do it anymore, that him and the Dolphins would come to some type of agreement saying, okay, here's what we'll do. We'll guarantee you $75 million of the $120 or whatever it is we
but
owe.
Why should he take a haircut on
right.
that?
No,
because they're going to say, rather than us hold your feet to the fire by basically saying you are clear to play and us saying, well, we don't have to honor the contract, they come to a happy medium of, okay, here's what we could do. The problem becomes, I don't think Tua wants to walk away. That's the thing. Like, somebody who's 26 years old, I think he's 26 or 27, who feels like they're in the prime of their career and feels like, you know what? Maybe I made the mistake not to slide, or maybe I slide in this situation moving forward. That
he
to me.
Did slide, though, the last
no,
time.
No, like though. No, in the game against Buffalo,
yeah.
when he went head first, where he tells himself, next time I give myself up way earlier, here's how I fix this moving forward. I don't think he wants to walk away from the game.
Wiggy, I think if I feel like going forward, somebody can breathe on him and he's going to end up getting a concussion. I don't. So
if this were your boys, what would you tell them to do?
If they were grown men,
yeah.
I would probably say, hey, listen, you know, I would say it might be time for you to walk away. But if they choose to continue to play, I understand I would play. I understand as a player, it would be extremely difficult for me to walk away.
Yeah.
If the doctor cleared me and I knew I could control, not control to where I'm not going to get any more concussions, but maybe say, okay, here's how I can put myself in the best possible place to maybe not get one, then I would obviously look into doing that.
All right, Courtney, thank you. Wiggy, good morning.
All right, good morning. So I'm not going to subscribe. After watching the Patriots through the first 2 weeks of the season and watching the rest of the NFL, I'm not going to subscribe to the Patriots. They're in rebuilding mode, and we should just be happy. I'm kind of on board with they have a good enough team. And the league, there's no team that has stood out, and granted, I know it's early in the season, where I go, oh, they're just far superior. The Patriots can't compete. I know we talked about the Jets. After watching San Francisco and how they played against the Vikings, I look at this and saying, there's a realistic chance that if the Patriots can somehow put it together in the, with their passing offense, that they could be a legitimate team that could, dare I say, make the playoffs
this season.
Yeah, if they could put their passing game together,
right.
Because you've got defense, you can run the football,
yeah.
Your coach looks like he knows what he's doing.
Uh-huh.
So
this is where you start to say you got to get Drake May in there, because Jacoby Brissett, you just can't count on him to throw the football.
Well, I don't think they have confidence in him. Mayo, you know, and I don't know if we're going to play it during. They said it for what he said they needed to start doing offensively after the game tells me that they might believe that maybe Jacoby can't do that at the way we would like him to do that or be consistent or be accurate. I just feel like when you start to look at the league and you start looking at these games, is there a team right now, and I know it's early, but is there a team that you look at and go,
that you think is going to run away with it?
Right.
I mean, no. I mean, the Niners are without McCaffrey for 6 weeks now or whatever.
Right.
They lost to the Vikings. Baltimore's
0-2.
Lions lost yesterday.
It is up and down. I mean, it is one thing Belichick was always right about was the first four games was really an extended preseason,
yeah.
Ever since the new CBA where you can't really practice in training camp as much as you did. I understand what Wiggy's saying, but I really believe that Mayo always wanted to play Drake May. So
yeah.
If there is an opening, I don't think it's this week. I think it's still week five.
All right. Well, Gerard Mayo with us at 9 this morning, and we'll get to talk about all those things. Thank you, Wiggy.
You got it.
Appreciation lead from me this morning, and it has nothing to do with the fact that he took me to Pearl Jam last night.
Oh, here we go.
But I would just like to – there's a story that broke over the weekend in the New York Post in which a source or two explained why the Grosbeck family is selling the Boston Celtics.
Yep.
And it appears that there was a rift. This did not come up at all last night, or I'd share, you know, what with you guys this morning, what we talked about. But a rift between Wick and his dad and others, because this team is going to lose $80 million this year. So I would just like to, from a fan perspective, appreciate the fact that we have an owner in this city who, in this particular case, is going to lose $80 million while going at it, trying to repeat and win another title. And I wish that we had that with every single owner in this city.
Yeah. Once that came out, I feel bad for, you know, being upset with Wick Grosbeck for that. Family situations come up, and that's hard behind the scenes, I'm sure. But if you are under pressure to sell a team because you're losing $80 million and you made that financial decision to better the program, to keep the franchise intact, then...
To win a title.
Well, yeah.
Can somebody explain this to me? How are they losing $80 million and where? Like, is it just for... you know, keeping
they're
the team.
They're paying two guys nearly $400 million.
Okay, so going over like the luxury tax and all that stuff like that?
Yeah, all of that stuff. So, I mean.
Isn't that part of winning a championship? Like, I would say, who's the guy that owns the Golden State Warriors?
I don't know his last name, but I was talking to Ken about this on Saturday. Like, they built their own arena in the most expensive city to build anything, and they're doubled the tax of the Celtics.
Isn't that the price of doing business?
I'm not saying they're not losing money. I'm just saying that there is ways very wealthy people make it seem like they're not doing as well, because if you get a lot of profits, then it hurts your tax return.
Yeah. Well, then you would have an issue, I guess, with Wick's dad. Like it.
I'm just talking about owning. It's a very profitable endeavor long term. Right. They've made a ton of money on the investment they initially made it with the team.
Yeah.
Wick did a phenomenal job as a steward of that asset. And I think this story was leaked by the Fenway Sports Group. Guess it was in the New York Post, not the Boston Globe. It was an attempt to reduce the value of the franchise by pointing out how much money you were going to lose if you purchased it. That's just my guess. I don't know if it's true, but I threw it out there.
Yeah, it just seems like because you think if you own a team like the Celtics, that overall you'd be making money. And it seems like that you're saying with this article, the reason why they're selling because they're losing money. Where I ultimately think, and we never have any answers, but this is just my opinion. I feel like Wick, if he could, would not be selling this team.
Correct.
But obviously his father and, you know, have more of a say, which is the reason on why they're selling.
Yeah. All right. Well, those are our leads. We are at Gillette Stadium. It is a Patriots Monday, and we are going to get to They Said It. Quick back and forth on what they said over the weekend in sports coming up next.